Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast. This is a program specifically for legal nurse consultants to share tips and expertise from the people that I interview every week about the topic of legal nurse consulting and aspects of legal nurse consulting that I can bring in to share with you. I am talking today with Cheryl Gaddy. We were just establishing that we've known each other for about 20 years. When Cheryl and I met, she was the current president of the New Jersey chapter of AALNC. And now, 20 years later, she is also the current president of New Jersey chapter of AALNC. Cheryl and I have also been at times on opposing sides of cases when we were both testifying as medical surgical liability experts for nursing practice. Cheryl and her partner Jude Lark established Lark and Gaddy Medical Legal Consultants, and she brings to legal nurse consulting a clinical practice that has included staff and managerial positions in medical, surgical, and critical care units. She also holds an alumnus status as a critical care certified nurse from AACN, in addition to having an LNCC certification from AALNC. Cheryl left clinical nursing in 2004, and she's been focusing since that time on case review and developing her business. And she was one of the founding members of the New Jersey chapter of AALNC, which started with an idea and grew to a chapter. Welcome to the show, Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Pat. Thank you so much for asking me to join you this evening.
Let me take you back, you know, probably more than 20 years at this point, and say, yes, how did you find legal nurse consulting, and how did attorneys find you? What was the factors that went into getting your first case?
There were multiple factors, and I think we have to start with, I started our business with Jude Lark. We both were working at the time in a intensive care unit. I was the head nurse and Jude was the assistant head nurse, and so we had this wonderful working relationship in the clinical setting, and we became very good friends at that point as well. But we also were starting to talk about, we were both had that entrepreneurial spirit, and we knew we wanted to do something together at that point. We both had young children, and we were working part-time at that time. So it was a development, it's kind of organic how it came to be, in terms of it necessarily wasn't going to be legal nurse consulting. We started talking about opening up a nursing agency, and by happenstance, Vicki Milazzo, who I'm sure, you know, Pat knows very much about, and many of you may know a lot about, at that point she was having these small half-day seminars. And so I don't know how we saw it, whether it was in a nursing journal or a nursing magazine, and we attended this half-day seminar. And that started the seed of beginning this business of legal nurse consulting together. And so we said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We did not have a business model. We did not write a business plan, as we probably should have, or But I don't know if we could have at that point. I don't know if we had the wherewithal or the knowledge to do so. And so we went to this seminar, and it so happens that one of Jude's friends was an attorney who did medical malpractice and personal injury, and he asked Jude to be one of the nursing experts in this case. And so that essentially was how we got our first case. So it was a friendly referral. And how many businesses ultimately do start out is someone you know. And so we did that, and then we started the very difficult process of cold calling. And I remember, it's kind of funny, I remember sitting in our family rooms and our living rooms and with this list of attorneys and not exactly knowing a lot of about them, which we probably should have done more research. We might have been more successful at that point. And just making these cold calls, you know, one after the other, and kind of holding hands and making it work. And we got better at it and started to develop some business from the cold calling. And it was mostly cold calling. It was not a lot of warm calling, because besides our first client, we did not know a lot of attorneys. So that's how we started out and progressed from there.
And you were probably calling attorneys 20 years ago who had no idea what the term legal nurse consulting meant.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's kind of funny, Pat, because I'm not sure that we were able to communicate that very effectively at that time. You spoke about this when Pat just presented to our chapter a couple of weeks ago, last month, at our chapter meeting. And that's one of the things that you spoke about, being able to, and this is so important for people, nurses that are just starting out, is almost to have that scripted response about what can you do for me, or what is it exactly do. I know I did not communicate that very effectively because I wasn't so sure at that point what I could do for them. Besides being a liability expert at that point. And that's how we started out. I mean, and that's kind of, I think, how you first started out as well, which was a good thing. I enjoyed doing that. Not a lot of nurses enjoy doing expert work, but I think that was a really powerful building block for our practice, at least.
Now, I know that you have stopped doing expert work. What does your business primarily consist of now?
Our business primarily consists of a number of things. My partner, Jude, still is clinically active, so she still does expert work. Excuse me. I do, and I obtain expert witnesses, both nursing and medical experts, for our clients in malpractice and some personal injury cases. I do a lot of work with personal injury clients, working up the initial medical records, talking about mechanism of injury, what are the injuries, and what are the sequela to those injuries, the permanency of those injuries. I do a lot of work with personal injury clients. I do attendance at defense medical exams. I work a lot doing medical chronologies that either can be used in summary judgments and or they work them up and use them as the case progresses along. So I do a lot of those in medical malpractice, product liability cases and personal injury cases. And I do a lot of administrative work as well. So I wear a lot of hats in the business right now.
Mm-hmm. And personal injury cases are an area that I think sometimes gets overlooked by legal nurse consultants who tend to focus on, particularly when they're new, well, of course, I have to go after medical malpractice attorneys, not recognizing that the marketing language on a website or in a brochure that says, I can help you research the standards of care, is of no value to a personal injury attorney who is not even thinking about standards of care. He's thinking about injuries, complications, pre-existing conditions, permanency.
Absolutely. And that's something that I love doing. I feel very comfortable doing. I think I've developed that aspect of my practice very well. And that I think, again, speaks back to when you're starting out and you're making these cold calls or contacting these attorneys, is to you must know, and I did not know exactly what their practice entailed. I probably didn't even know at that point whether they were defense or plaintiff attorneys. So I think knowing your call base is so very important. I have a son who is a financial advisor and has taught me a lot about calling and before you call, what to say and what to know, what you need to know for that particular client. There's a big difference in calling a solo practitioner versus calling a large practice that has multiple attorneys, and the solo practitioner, you may have a niche there that you can fill for them, whereas that might not be the same niche for the larger practice.
Tell us about the most challenging attorney that you've worked with and why that person was challenging.
two things that are probably most challenging. One is the client that doesn't pay. And that's a whole nother subject. But it's funny because I have a wonderful client that he's a dear man. He does very well for his clients. And I've worked for him for a long time. But I know that he is a solo practitioner, so that money is sometimes an issue until he gets payment from a case. So you have to, that is is most challenging sometimes with working with clients that you like, but there's that issue with invoicing and payment. So that's something that you need to work out. That I've needed to work out in terms of small increment retainers. And the other challenge I've found is, and this was more so when I was doing expert work, is the client that wants you to write exactly what he wants you to say in a report, regardless of what your opinion is, and that's something that I had a very difficult time initially with, until I developed my own voice in terms of speaking up and speaking to the client as to what I will and will not write in a report. and also finding my voice, that my reports were good enough, were the best thing in terms of the outcome of that case. So I think that was the most challenging type of client when I was doing expert work. And it's funny, I remember the first expert case that we did, Judy and I actually did it together, and our expert in terms of I was we. And we sent it along to the client, and they said, "You can't do this." But we thought, you know, a collaborative mm-hmm. effort is better than, you know, two heads are better than one. But so those are the two kind of things that are most challenging in my practice.
When you talk about the attorney who wants you to write a report a specific way or use the attorney's words, it reminded me of something that happened to one of the OR nurses that we supplied to an attorney. The attorney wrote the report for the expert, faxed it to the OR where he was working at the time, and wanted him to sign it. And the expert was keeping a low profile regarding the fact that he was doing expert work, and this was just a horrible situation. And the attorney was a little indignant, and I was new in legal nurse consulting when this happened, and I spoke to some clients had said, "Is this very common that an attorney will write the report unbidden by the expert?" And they said, "Oh, no, no, Pat, no, 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 that's not right."
Yeah. No, it's not right. But you have these attorneys that have been litigating these cases for 20-odd years. They know what works for them, what doesn't work for them. They know what works in certain jurisdictions and judges and that kind of thing, and the opposing counsel, they know very well, and so certainly you know, terminology and way things are said can be suggested, but you know, that's a very, until you get your own voice, and your own voice, it's empowering. When you're able to do that. But I think that takes a little bit of time, and that's where things like what you do with the mentoring and the, you know, the networking that we do at the chapter level, that sometimes you don't get somebody you can reach out to and say, "Hey, I'm having this problem and I just don't know how to handle it," and somebody who's seasoned can kind of develop your voice for you. And that's, I had a hard time when I started. You talk about the guy who had the report faxed over to his workplace. I had a very difficult time separating out the two. I was kind of very secretive about that I did this on the outside to my colleagues at the hospital, because it just wasn't something. You know, that now it's more prevalent, but it wasn't something that a lot of people did. So,
I talked to a nurse a few months ago who told me that written into her employment agreement at the hospital was that she had to promise that she would not do legal nurse consulting, and she could lose her job if they found out that she was doing it. So now we've gone the other way, from people who don't know what it's all about to people who are threatened by it and putting up barriers for individuals who want to start their own businesses and still be clinically active at the same time.
Right, because you have to be. And the other thing that's kind of impacting nursing experts are these mergers with these hospital groups. I had an expert just recently that had been involved in a case, wrote the report, but subsequent to her being deposed and the trial, the case going forward, they merged, so there was a conflict of interest created. So if you're just looking at one state and you have these two big groups and you know, like 10, 20 hospitals in groups, it's a lot more difficult to get nurses. Then you have to start looking outside the state, which some attorneys like and some attorneys don't.
Well, you've clearly been in business for a long time, and you've gotten great relationships that you've established with your clients. What do you do to cultivate those long-lasting relationships?
I touch all the time. Email, call. If I do a referral for, a physician expert or a nursing expert, I'm constantly following up with both the expert and the client. Or if I see something that kind of is related to the case, either in a journal or something. So I think I'm constantly reaching out. I think I'm pretty available in terms of office and cell phone and email and texting. So I'm always kind of, for the most part, unless I have, if I'm at a defense medical exam or if I'm working at a client's office, I'm pretty much available all the time, and I think they know that. And I'm flexible in terms of when I will and can speak to clients. And when we were talking about this before, and I have a voice. I've developed more globally. I just think I'm very upfront and willing to share my opinions and ask questions if I don't. I used to be afraid of asking questions if I didn't know a certain legal process or kind of what they were thinking or that kind of thing. I'm not afraid to ask questions anymore. And I think that comes with experience, and I think that comes with maybe age a little bit too. But I think if you kind of force yourself to ask a question, it makes you feel like it makes you you're showing that you're interested and you want to learn. And most attorneys like that a lot.
You've obviously been in a situation being part of the New Jersey chapter and being involved of seeing a lot of people coming into the field and not always meeting with success. What do you think is critical to being a successful legal nurse consultant?
I think that's a hard question, because that bothers me the most, is that I've seen these chapter meetings over the years, and I've seen people, and then I don't see them anymore. But the ones that I've seen follow up and grow their business are the ones that are willing to do subcontracting work, and to be honest with you, that are willing to do, if they're still clinically active, that are willing to do expert work. That's a commodity that's difficult to find sometimes. So if you can cultivate that and get over the fear of that, I don't know if you agree with me, but that's a breakthrough point. If you have that clinical practice available to, if you're still clinically active, a lot of them that come and they don't want to do clinical work anymore. And so that's kind of like, I just want to get out of this. And I think using that at least initially helped me, I know. And I've been able to do referrals for expert work of some people that I've met. That's two things that I think, the willingness to do expert work and to subcontract and to put themselves out in other places as well.
I think that's a great point because there is a high demand for well-qualified, articulate mm-hmm. experts who can fill the niche areas of nursing. It's even a lot easier for attorneys now than it ever was before to locate physician experts. They can go on a website, they can look at a hospital department list, they can find physicians and publications. But my independent legal nurse consulting business was really built around the niche of supplying nursing experts who are much more invisible and
mm-hmm. yes.
and run the gamut from neonatal to geriatrics and everything in between. So it is a demanding part of legal nurse consulting in my experience, having done it for 20 years. But it does teach you how to communicate with attorneys, to be able to take a position and withstand cross-examination, to be able to be detail-oriented and find those little facts in the medical record that always excite us because they change the whole complexion of the case.
Yes. Yeah, I just think it's overall, it's skill building.
Mm-hmm. Could you share with us anything else that you could identify as tips or tricks or secrets of being successful?
Let's see. I think one of the things that I've done a couple of times is speaking to groups mm-hmm. and inviting and going out and attending some different meetings. I know it's very expensive to Jude and I initially started working and exhibiting at trial attorney conferences and other conferences. And that's something you have to kind of balance in terms of cost and the return to you. I've gotten some good clients. So writing for journals, writing for publications. I know that the Journal of Legal Nurse Consulting offers an opportunity for lots of people to write and on all different subjects. And you certainly have the opportunity then, anything that you've written, to share with attorneys who may be potential clients, or as I was speaking about before, reaching out. Maybe you don't have a current case with this client, but calling up and say, "Hey, Susan, I know that we were working on this case, and I just happened to see this, thing about the standards in here. What do you think about this? I'm going to just forward it over to you," and it kind of spurs sometimes the attorney to think about, hey, listen, I have this case here sitting here that I need to work up, or that I was thinking about I need to have these medical records doing. So sometimes that just reaching out and not necessarily a cold call, but an email sharing a blog or email sharing an article that you've written, or conference that you attended and you found some great information.
And it makes the attorney realize that you're thinking about that person. You're in a relationship. You're a helpful
yes.
and trusted resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So those are the things that I've incorporated into my practice. And am I great at it all the time? No. But I work at it. I think I work at it. And I think, too, designating, this is the other thing, too, kind of designating a place for yourself so that you have a place to go where you have your research and you have, a plan that you want to do and working on that. So you're thinking as a business person. rather than just kind of going out there and willy-nilly, being more formative in planning. And I know that, you know, you help a lot of legal nurse consultants with that. But business planning, I've learned to become better at business planning. So I think that's an important thing. If you can incorporate that earlier rather than later, is very helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the School of Hard Knocks teaches us a lot of lessons about planning and carrying out business and making sound business decisions. I
Yes.
think about, and I describe to people, that there's a little invisible hook in nurses that says, oh, you need me to help you? Oh, I'd be glad to help you. And sometimes our instinct to help is not well formed, particularly when we're working with an attorney who's very needy and needs help, but doesn't always back up the business part of that by providing the funds, the retainer, the rapid payment. You learn those lessons by those situations in your life that teach you that you need to really approach this as a business rather than a charity or helping people because you want to help people without considering cash flow issues, payment issues, invoicing, retainers.
Absolutely, yes. And you know, as your business grows, you're able, there's lots of different tools that you can use. The one other thing that I was thinking of too is accountability of time. And I started out not being very good at it, and I used to kind of say, you know, I worked 6 hours on it when I probably worked 12 hours on it. And there's a learning curve in terms of appropriateness of time. And you're going to have to eat some of that time when you're first learning. But now I'm very careful, and I know you are too, in terms of subcontractors and myself, of time tracking. And there's a free toggle. I don't know if you're familiar with Toggle, but that's a very easy time tracking system that you can use case by case, and you're much more effective in terms of keeping accurate time and billing for the, you know, billing correctly.
That's a great resource. Cheryl, where can people go to find out more about you?
You can go to our website at larkgaddy.com, and our contact information is there. And you can reach me at cgaddy@larkgaddy.com.
All right. And for the people who are listening, let's spell out LarkGatti.
Right.
This has been Cheryl Gaddy. That half hour flew by, Cheryl. I so much appreciate what you've shared with our listeners. This has been Legal Nurse Podcasts, and thank you so much for spending a half hour with me and learning more about legal nurse consulting from one of the most experienced legal nurse consultants around.
One of the oldest, I guess.
I didn't say that. We all know you started as a legal nurse consultant when you were 20 years old. We've got that part covered.
Thank you very much, Pat.
All right, and thanks everybody for listening. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.